Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Now, we all know that going sober isn't easy. It may not be your first attempt. You may find moments of frustration, but in those moments, that's your opportunity to challenge any thoughts or beliefs that you hold about alcohol and to turn your focus to the benefits you're going to gain. And so that's why I've spent time listening to every single episode and cherry-picking the best bits. And today, the episode we're looking at is the one I did with Jodie. Now, Jodie's story is phenomenal. The changes that she's experienced are really inspirational. And in the main episode, she talks about all three areas of fitness, relationships, and advancing her career. But in this little bite-sized piece, she covers how her anxiety stopped within weeks of stopping drinking, how her health and fitness was positively impacted, and how it felt good knowing that she wasn't going to cancel things. I love Jodie. I love the way she puts things. She's very straight talking. I hope you enjoy it.
It's not that I've stopped drinking and all of a sudden the weight's fallen off, because it doesn't happen like that, does it? Some people,
no.
I've heard of men that are kind of big, heavy beer drinkers, but that once they stop, they lose a lot of weight because there's a lot of calories in that, a lot of pints, etc. Whereas my drink towards the end was generally Prosecco. So kind of stopping drinking 4 or 5 bottles of Prosecco a week, yes, that's still a lot of calories. However, I used to do that thing that a lot of people do also is balance the two. I know I've got a heavy weekend coming up, so I won't eat as much in the week, which is also a really unhealthy behavior. So I didn't kind of stop the drinking and then it all fell off. It just created a hell of a lot of space and time for me to focus on myself. And because I had a hell of a lot of spare time, I now no longer feel guilty. It's also helped me have like more positive self-talk around that aspect of it as well. And that I now truly believe that if I don't treat myself as a bit of a priority and I continue to overlook myself and my feelings and my values and what I want to be doing, the kids get a really shit version of me. I can honestly say now, with the risk of sounding overconfident and possibly a little bit cocky, I've never been a better version of myself for the kids. Never been a better version of myself for the kids. I do try and get the workouts out of the way very early in the day so it doesn't impact them as much now, because I've got kind of a lot of plates to be spinning and whatnot. But yeah, so that is probably the number one thing that has had the biggest positive impact is my health and my fitness, without a doubt.
And I think it's important to have that conversation as well, because whenever I show, because I've lost nearly 3 stone, and like you say, my weight started to come off because I was heavily restricting my eating. That was my go-to, where I go to a restaurant and I'd order the fish when I wanted the burger, whereas now I order the burger. I want the burger. I think it's really important to say that it doesn't just fall off, particularly for women. I'm 45 and there are other hormonal changes going on in my body. 3 years ago, I had a baby, but having that energy, having the time, having the self-respect is probably the word I would use to say that you deserve to make sure that you've gone to the gym or that you're eating healthily, rather than, as you were talking about, that self-punishment late at night of, well, sod it, I'll just eat this crap or I'll drink this.
Yeah.
And it does add up.
It does add up. It's almost like a completely different brain that I had. It feels like, because of how much I've kind of maybe learned or taught myself or found over the last year, my brain doesn't think the same anymore. I mean, to be fair, my trainer, I feel like I do need to give him some credit, because he has really educated me around the habitual side of things and drip fed in those habits, and at the right time and slowly, at the time where he knew that we, because it was an online group program, we could handle them at the right, it wasn't overwhelming. So I kind of look at things now and I think, is that going to be a tick in the box for the future version of myself? Or is that self-destructive and it's going to be three steps backwards? So yeah. I've managed to reframe my thinking around things, which is so powerful and it's so important. And it's not something can be taught overnight. It's something that needs to be practiced over and over and over again.
Did you think of the future version of yourself as a drinker? Did you ever sit there and think of the consequences?
No. It was just that night. It was that night. And have I got enough wine in the house until Monday morning?
Yeah, I was the same. Isn't it such a narrow view that you have, isn't it, as a drinker?
I've never thought of it like that. I didn't ever look forward. It was almost an unreachable destination. If I would think about the future, it was always tomorrow's problem, wasn't it?
Yeah. Diet Monday, that kind of thing.
Always. And I'm not, again, it's not a sweeping statement about people that do drink, but it's that lack of responsibility, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't want to take responsibility. I didn't want to think, if I thought about my health, I just started worrying. So I'd just stop. I did not want to take responsibility. I wanted to put my head in the sand and just carry on the way I was, because that's what you do and that's what everybody else does.
Definitely. I had things mixed up, I think. My priorities were always around alcohol's bad for me because it makes me put weight on. That was literally the only negative that I kind of saw in it. And I wish you to say to my husband again, I keep saying my husband because your husband's Dale as well, isn't he?
He is.
I sort of always used to say to him, if I could just get to my goal weight, I can drink all weekend. It'll be absolutely fine.
I used to think things like that. I used to think, well, because I hadn't struggled so much with my weight until I had my second child. And that was when I just couldn't seem to shift the weight. I thought, well, it'll come off in a bit. It'll come off in a bit. And it didn't. And it just would not shift. And then I thought, well, maybe this is life. Maybe this is what 42, 43 looks like. Yeah. And I just need to accept it. Mm. And I felt old and dowdy and unattractive. And, oh, just, I feel so sorry for that version of me, because I wasn't in any way who I really am. You know, Dale looks at me now and says, God, you know, he can't believe it. He said, you're even more vibrant than when I first met you. You know, I've never seen you like this. All his Christmases have come at once, you know, because I'm now like full of energy and jumping around. And he's like, oh, you look so great.
Yeah. Dale often says, the best thing about you stop drinking is I actually get to see parts of your body now. Like you can see you'll walk around in your underwear, whereas I have not done that before.
Oh, my word. That is so amazing.
And I've not always been like that. It was very much kind of, again, since I had my second child, since COVID hit, it was a whole culmination of a whole load of crap that was going on at that time, work, personal life, COVID, 2.5-year-old at home, all that sort of stuff. And then it just gradually got worse and worse and worse and worse. I got bigger and bigger and bigger. The drinking became more and more regular. I was ended up taking medication for anxiety, and that with the drink didn't work very well, as it's not never going to. And I just got to this point on the 1st of January, 2021, I think it was. And I was like, I saw that 16 stone on the scales and I was like, that's me done now. I'm 5'4". I'm very little. 16 stone is hefty for me. I've never been this heavy and I will never see this number again. But I look back now and I watch videos and stories, or not necessarily stories. I wasn't very open about my kind of like fitness journey back then when I was kind of bigger. But I see the videos of me like sharing my fitness pal run, and I'm all swollen and I'm thinking I'm really rooting for her. But I also feel so sorry for that version of myself, because I was really trying. But then on Friday or Thursday, it was just almost like it didn't matter anymore. And then it'd get to Monday again, and I'd get my big body back into my Lycra, and I'd be pounding the streets, getting backache and poorly knees. And I just feel sad for myself when I kind of look back to that version. But thank God I woke up.
Oh, my goodness. And you mentioned anxiety there. So I take it in sobriety, have you noticed a difference now?
This is another positive that I found. Yeah, it stopped. Only now, if something quite severe it was to happen. So if we've got I've got an elderly grandparents and she's in and out with her health and whatnot, that's generally the only time it'll trigger a bit of anxiety, just kind of when something really serious is kind of happening.
That's normal. That is normal, you know, like a normal level, not an overwhelming level.
But I was taking beta blockers daily.
Gosh.
Especially on a Monday morning, I would wake up I mean, so I was taking it was actually antidepressants for anxiety at one spell, but I decided to just stop taking them once I started falling over at night. Instead of like calming my booze down, I just decided to stop taking the antidepressants because, of course, it was those that was the problem and not the alcohol. Bizarre mentality. But I did absolutely get into the habit of having beta blockers in the morning, especially on a Monday morning, because I would wake up and I'd had too much to drink on the Sunday night. Knew I'd got to get up, knew I'd got to go through presenting to the team on a Monday morning, all the numbers from the previous week. And I hate presenting numbers anyway. It's just not my forte. So, yeah, I would take beta blockers 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, that kind of pang of anxiety. You wake up and think, shit, take the beta blockers then, stop drinking. And it's just gone. I don't get it anymore. I don't feel anxious. I feel nervous, natural, normal nerves. But the levels of anxiety I used to get, where I used to try and self-medicate every single day, it's just gone. It's just absolutely, it's like somebody has just rubbed out that part of me. You don't get that anymore. And it's not because I'm fitter and I'm healthier, because that didn't come until further down the line. This was instant. This was instantaneous. This is, I'm talking 2 to 3 weeks after stopping drinking. That just stopped for me. And I don't know whether, well, I do know that all of this is intrinsically linked around the fact that I'm getting more rest at night because I'm not drinking. There's a whole heap of reasons why, but you can't argue with the fact that that has just disappeared for me, which I think is absolutely incredible. And not enough people know the link between alcohol and anxiety. I drink because I'm so anxious. I drink because I'm stressed. And it's difficult to be as open and as honest as probably you and I really want to be at this point, because you don't want to offend people and you've got to meet people at their starting point, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And it is about coming at it just going, I can't believe as a society that we're not educated about this stuff. It's not on a personal level.
Very.
It's why aren't we talking about the true risks of alcohol? Why aren't we talking about the cancer risks, or the fact that it is impacting anxiety? It does increase stress. At the very base level, it impacts sleep, and sleep is so vital for our health.
And do you think, I mean, I certainly feel once someone starts doing something about it, once we've actually got some of these health messages in places on labels on alcohol, or I don't know, the odd article here and there in actual mainstream news and media, I think we can chill out a little bit about it. But at the moment, we just know we're kind of fighting the good fight.
Yeah, we come across as conspiracy theorists, I
We do,
sometimes
we
think.
absolutely do. And I know that there'll be a shift in kind of like my friends that used to perhaps watch a couple of podcasts here or listen to a couple of podcasts here and there. And I know that my style on social media does change and sometimes gets a little bit kind of on the edgy side of things. But ultimately, it's not a conspiracy. This is fact. This is
Yeah.
actual real life. And I know I mentioned in my post this morning, you can keep ignoring it if you want to. You absolutely can keep ignoring it. But we're trying to kind of help. I mean, it can't be a surprise if you do end up in a situation with a health implication induced by alcohol, it can't be a surprise.
Yeah. And it's not fair for it to be a surprise. It really isn't. And
Not.
I remember watching a documentary where they were talking about a woman who was drinking, I think, a bottle and a bit of wine a night. And then she ended up with liver problems, liver failure. And she lost everything. She lost her home. She lost her children. She lost her husband. And she was living in a caravan, I think. And she was being interviewed and she said, look, if I'd have realized. And I was a drinker at that point watching this documentary. And I sat there thinking, oh, come on, love. We all know it can happen. And then I thought, hang on a minute. No, I don't know that it can happen after a bottle of wine a night. You think of really extreme drinkers. You think of people who are binge drinking or going on 24-hour benders, that kind of thing. You don't think about your average mummy wine culture person pouring a glass of wine at 5 o'clock because the kids are screaming.
You don't.
I'm sure it will change. I'm sure that people will start talking about it more, and then we can relax
Yeah, and
because we don't have to bang the drum as loud, although we probably still will.
probably will. Yeah, I don't think
Yeah.
it'll be
Once you've
stopping.
seen it, you can't unsee it. I think that's where that was my struggle. Once I read and saw, and I read some amazing books, William Porter, Professor David Nutt, that book opened my eyes comparing drinking and smoking, and it scared me. It really did. I thought, well, there's no way I'd smoke five cigarettes.
It is super, super scary. I had a conversation with a friend a while ago, actually, and we were talking about, I can't remember what it was. It was a footballer had, we'd won something and he was all over the news. I can't remember. Jack Grealish, that was it. He was all over the news celebrating, videos of him kind of being a bit sick and whatever, but it was all glorified all over the news because they'd won. It was Man City. They'd won, I forget what they'd won. And I mentioned in my friend group that it was real. I found it really frustrating because my eldest is 13 and he's massively influenced. He's into football. He's massively influenced by players. And it was going through to him. So he could see that Jack Grealish and the BBC were actually glorifying his behaviour. Oh, he's a young lad. But rather than him being a young lad and he's got himself in a state and he'll recover soon, da da da. It was in for probably 4 or 5 days consecutively that he was still on this massive long bender. I think it ended up being like a 3-day bender. But they put him on the front page, showing him in this state, still celebrating with no negative connotations whatsoever. And I sort of said on the group, I'm finding it really frustrating. And one of my friends said, oh, but it's not as if he's on drugs. It really, really bothered me. In fact, I did buy, and it's the first time on my girl group that I did sort of say, but it is a drug.
It's the whole narrative, isn't it? That alcohol isn't a drug, whereas it is, and we know it is. And there was me always boasting, I've never done drugs. Yeah. So I can't say that anymore. So your health and obviously your anxiety, your physical health, you're looking amazing. I can't say that enough. You're absolutely
you
glowing. Thank you very much. What is your second plus point of sobriety, would you say?
I think I'd have to say my career and my productivity, to be honest with you. I've always been very, very career driven. Even at the stages where I was drinking a bottle of wine every night when I was living on my own, I've always held down a full-time job. It's always mattered to me. I've been in digital marketing for coming up 20 years now. It's a huge passion of me climbing the ladder and just making sure that I've kind of always got my A game at work. However, I've always drank at a weekend. Now I realise that I've never really been given 100%. Especially where my drinking started bleeding into a Monday morning, not drinking on a Monday morning, but drinking to a Sunday night so that on a Monday morning, I would get up and feel horrendous.
Yeah.
Although I say that I took the break because I wanted to lose weight, it was certainly one of the red flags, having to wake up and start taking beta blockers just to be okay for work. That didn't align with my values. It didn't align with my kind of goals and where I wanted to take my job. But having to hide a hangover, I think with us working from home as much as we do as well, it was very easy to be able to hide a hangover over a screen. You have some beta blockers, you throw the coffee down your neck, you make sure you've got enough food in your tummy, and you sit, you light a candle, you've got your music on, you set your vibe up, have a shower, a little bit more sleep because you've only got to kind of come downstairs, do the school run and whatnot. It was when that kind of happened to me, I started to realise that it was taking over. The alcohol was more of a priority than perhaps my work was becoming. So since I've stopped drinking, my productivity at work has kind of, it's difficult because I don't want to kind of sound like I'm blowing my own trumpet, but I am a better employee. I am a better manager. I am more articulate in my meetings. I'm more considered. I'm more prepared. I actually yesterday got news that I got a promotion as well.
Oh, well done.
Which is incredible because I've worked for the company where I work now for coming up to, I think it's 7 years this year. I've managed to negotiate this promotion. It wasn't something kind of was handed over to me. It was actually, I recognised something and having to get them to also be on the same sort of page as me. And we're finally there. And that I got news of that yesterday. So if I was still drinking, there's not a cat in hell's chance that I would have had the self-belief to be able to negotiate and stand my ground and have those professional conversations that justified a promotion. So I can hand on heart say that wouldn't have happened if I was still drinking. Not a chance.
And if you'd like to go back and listen to the original episode, it's episode 5, and it was first broadcast on the 3rd of October 2023. If you scroll back through your podcast feed. If you head to louisaevans.com, you'll find lots of useful resources, including my Sober Resilience course. If you use code RESILIENCE544, you can get a 30% discount. And you'll find a whole host of self-hypnosis downloads to help you reprogram that subconscious and change some of those deep-rooted beliefs about alcohol, about sobriety, and about so many other subjects, from weight loss, confidence, exercise. There's plenty to choose from. You can buy one, get one free using the code SOBERREBEL, all one word. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests over this last couple of years for their openness and honesty. And the podcast will be back in its regular fortnightly slot very shortly. I'm currently recording some amazing episodes for you. I hope you have a great day.